the idea of him being branded one thing or another politically is really incorrect. And it was really created by the McCarthy period to blacklist people so that they wouldn't have any influence in the culture. That's my take on it. And knowing Woody and knowing his writings and knowing the man, I would really disagree with a lot of that. I think the philosophy of communism was his central motivating force, and correctly so. I happen to agree with him on that. But also a balance with individual rights and individual opt-outs. You know, I have my own thoughts about how I want to do things. He was also a rugged individualist in that sense. He wouldn't be in lockstep with anybody about anything.
He could sympathize with parts of what communism was about, as we find out now in our society, we're all kind of accepting.
I think the idea of public school education is a communist idea.
Okay.
I think the idea of national health care is a communist idea. I don't think anyone on Medicaid has a problem with it, et cetera.
Right. But then he did kind of hang with some of the people who were very serious about the Communist Party.
Absolutely.
Like Will Geer, Grandpa Walton, on the TV series The Waltons. So he hung with him and others. So while they were very serious about it, and Grandpa organized communist groups, Woody wasn't that serious about it, but he was branded, I suppose, by those he hung out with.
Well, I would say because of his nature that we talked about, it would be impossible for him, like I said, just to lockstep with anybody, Democrat, Republican, communist, anything. He wanted to get educated about everything. And of course, these ideas, the Communist Party ideas, were really intriguing. First of all, they were the only party that was really addressing the idea of working together and unionizing when other people were pulling back. And there was real friction between the big industrialists and the unions. So those are the two forces at work. And of course, he would side with the workers. The blacklisting that happened after that, I want to say in a way had, you might wince when I say this, but I always think it almost had nothing to do with politics in a way. It had to do with capitalism and industry. It had to do with protecting bankers. And I think we've seen the result of that. I think it's easy to label it like, oh, he's a commie or he's a socialist. Basically, most of these people were workers, and they were trying to get very simple, basic rights for workers. Now, to go off the deep end and label any of these people as hardline communists is so stupid. I'm sorry. It's just really stupid. There were very few hardline communists involved in any of these movements, actually. You know, the heavy communists were over in Russia. So a lot of things get labeled and I want to say branded in a way, and they do it very forcefully and very quickly so that no one has a chance to really think about it. Because if they did think about it, they might like some of the ideas. So this is a strategy that people have used forever, by the way. It's not new. It comes and goes in waves. And you see this very quick branding, very quick. Why? Because they don't want people to even think about the possibilities, the choices that are available to them. That's what a blacklist is. You know, it's funny because I knew so many people that were blacklisted during the 50s. I'm telling you, some of them were the most simple. I have to giggle because, you know, some people think of like blacklisted commies as being like, you know, rebels with guns in every pocket or trying to overthrow government. These are little people. They have a little apartment. They're a teacher. They're a plumber. They're so innocent in that sense. And not only that, but they tend to be really, really kind and good people. And if you really got to know what they're thinking and who they are, you actually might like them.
Right.
So that's what the blacklist comes along and says, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad. Kick him out, kick him out, kick him out. Get rid of him. Don't let anyone see. And I think that that happened to Woody, who is one of the most beautiful, and I'm not saying important or anything like that, but one of the most beautiful human beings. This is a man with such heart and such love and such humility. Never wanted to take anything from anyone. A really nice person. never wanted your money, never wanted to be better than the Joneses. I mean, all of this was not in his consciousness at all. Everything he did was to try to shine light on something that was happening that seemed wrong to him. And he thought, if he shined some light on it, someone could do something about it. That's such a simple humanistic attribute. How you got from that attribute to being a red commie, somebody was doing some advertising there, some propaganda work.
And it worked, even in his home state of Oklahoma, his hometown of Okemah, because it took many, many years for them to say, all right, we give up. Maybe we should honor this man after all. There was a resentment to him.
Well, there was a vulnerability to the blacklist. A lot of people in the country were vulnerable to the propaganda. I don't have anything bad to say about any of these people. I really don't. I know they're kind, they're sweet, they're gentle. They're living their lives, trying to be decent people, going to church, however they consider a good life. And I think they were the victims of the blacklist, not Woody.
That's good. That's very good.
They lost. Look at the people they lost. Look at the talent that had to leave. I'm not just talking about Oklahoma, but this is true anywhere. The citizens are the victims of the cruelty.
Yeah.